Pastor Mike McCoy, welcoming you to the time of truth. Luke chapter number 24, verse number 49. One verse. I'm going to try to give you what the Lord's gave me. I know this is the message for this day, this time, this place, for this congregation. I don't know who you are or which one God's going to serve this to. I'm going to serve it to all, but somebody, I pray, will eat it today. Take this word, and it'll be beneficial to you if you'll take it. Luke 24, verse number 49, or if you're there, shout amen for me. Amen. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Father, we love you and thank you for this day and these that have come out. And God, I'm going to try to preach a little bit this morning. And I can't do a thing without you. God, in you I live, move, and have my being. I'm praying, Lord, that you'd touch this preacher one more time. I pray you'd fill my mouth and guard my tongue and help me to be accurate inside the scripture. Lord, I got a lot of scripture today, but Paul told us to preach the word. Yes. And I'm depending on the Holy Ghost to take this word and touch somebody's heart today, God. Don't have a lot of stories or illustrations, just the word of God. And I'm praying that you'd use it today. You'd be glorified in everything that's done in this place. And if there be one here that's unsaved, they'd be saved. And if there be one here that's backslid on you, Lord, that's cold and indifferent, out of fellowship with the Lord, we pray that you'd draw them back to where they need to be today. I'm praying everything that I do and say would honor my King. And I'll give you glory for it now and forever, Lord. And I ask it in my Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Two words in this. He says, the promise. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. I want to try to preach today on promised power. Promised power. I've preached for a long time on power. I preach often on power. Going to use some of the same scriptures I've used in other messages on power. But I pray today that God will take this message and he will touch our hearts in this as I try to deliver it. Now, Jesus is about to leave here and he told them that he's going to give the promise, send. He's going to, behold, I send the promise of my Father. He's going to send them something that God had promised them. All through the Word of God, there had been times when God's his power was prevalent and it was easily seen and understood. The power of God would be up on one bunch and then it'd be on someone else and God would put his power on someone. God could breathe, the Spirit of God would come up on them in the Old Testament and they'd do a great work for God. But he's talking here about what he's going to do. He's going to pour it out as the prophet Joel had spoken of. Now in this, and maybe I'll get to preach on the feast one of these days, I don't know. But this is, it's at a particular time that it's going to be poured out. The Lord knew when that was going to be, and so it's at Pentecost. But before we get there, I want us to consider this morning the power of vision. The power of vision. John 1:11-13, he came into his own, but his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Now that word means authority right there. He gave them power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe upon his name. And they were born not of the will of the blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Amen. He's poured that out on us. It's the will of God that be poured out. Well, someone might say, I don't see anything about vision right there. When he pours out that power, enables us to become a son or a child of God. 2 Corinthians clears this up when Paul said, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them. What do you see there? You see no vision. Where there's no vision, the people perish. The word in Proverbs means a revelation. So where there's no revelation, it hasn't been revealed, the people are perishing. Why? Because they have no vision. They have no vision. How do we have the vision? We have the vision by the power. It is the power that gives us vision. We've got to have the power of God. If you can't see today, listen, it's because you don't have the power of God on you. Say, well, I thought everybody had the power. Well, the saved people's got the power. But there's power for vision. God, He enacts that. He enables us. He gives us the ability to see. The God of this world will keep you blind. He don't want you to see that you're lost. He don't want you to see that all these things are wrong. He wants you to stay right where you're at. But the God of heaven wants to give you vision today, and that vision has to come by power. And it is the will of God that we're born into the family of God. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I want us to consider this, the promise of this power. What power is he talking about? He's talking about the power of vision. But he's also talking about power of voice. Maybe we're missing this real bad right here. Jesus is about to depart. Now Luke is writing Acts also. And so the book of Acts starts off where the book of Luke ends. And he says this, "Ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you." You have no power apart from the Holy Ghost. Amen. You have no power in yourself and of yourself. You could quote the whole Bible. There wouldn't be any power in it except for the Holy Ghost. He is what enables us. He gives us voice. There's power for vision. God takes the scales off our eyes. We see our lost condition. I would to God that the world could see just how lost they are. Amen. But there's not only power for that vision, but there's power for voice. He said, "You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Ye shall be witness unto me." What is that? That means he enables us to speak of the glory and the goodness of our God and Savior, and for people to know what it is to be out from under the wage and the debt and the burden of sin. We know what that is, those of us that are saved. That's why I say, don't bother lost people to do wicked and bad things. That's just normal stuff to them. And then us Christians expect them to act like a Christian ought to act, when we don't act like a Christian ought to act our own selves. But we expect them to, and they're lost. You know what that lost people do? They act just like lost people are supposed to act. They don't want to come to church. They don't love God. They don't love you. Don't love their family. They're all for me, I, and my. They don't care about anything but their self. That's what lost people are supposed to do. Why? Because they have no vision. They don't have no power for no voice. Because they don't belong to God. But Jesus is telling the disciples, the apostles, here if you would, look here. Here's the promise of the Father. I'm going to pour it out on you. I'm going to send it.
Hallelujah.
They receive it. But this power isn't just for vision and voice. This power is for victory. And it's power like this. Jesus, or Matthew said in Matthew 12, and about verse 20, somewhere in there, he said this, "A bruised reed shall he not break, nor a smoking flax shall he quench until he has sent forth judgment unto victory." Well, what does that mean? Well, it means this. It means that I tried to teach it this morning in a small way in Sunday school for Brother Wade. He took our judgment and we get the victory.
Amen.
And this is the victory that overcometh the world.
Even our faith.
Even our faith, A plus over there, he got it first. That's what overcomes the world. Even our faith, we overcome the world by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Amen. That gives us the victory in the Lord today. If they drop a nuclear bomb on Crossville, Tennessee in the next 15 seconds, I say, bless God, those of us that are saved are going to take the next breath in heaven, and the rest of you can stay here. What's left of you. So that's kind of abrasive, preacher. I just want you to have vision today and victory. But I'm afraid as Christians, we don't use the power of voice that the Lord's death and life are in the power of the tongue. Listen, God's given us, he's poured this power out upon us, and we neglect the power that we've been given. I'm going to get into more of that in just a moment. So, here's what happened. Now, I'm not getting into Pentecost and how it came to be and that it's one of the feasts, but I want you to know that on Pentecost morning, if there's 49 Sabbaths, and Sabbaths are on Saturday, Pentecost had to be on, if it's the 50th day, it had to be on Sunday. So they're gathered together in an upper room, and they're praying. And hear what God's about to do. Jesus had promised, this promise that he's going to send it. Well, now, listen, the power is about to be delivered. The power of God is about to be delivered, and the church is going to be born. Amen. Is anybody with me this morning? Am I the only one in a building? I don't know. I feel like just checking out and going to the house here. We need some power. Artificial power won't get it done. It won't get it done. We need power of the Holy Ghost. Well, when the power was delivered at Pentecost, God chose, God knew in the Old Testament. He told the prophet Joel. Joel told him, said he's going to pour it out on you. Listen, your sons and daughters are going to prophesy. Some's going to dream dreams, some's going to see visions. How are they going to do that? Through the power. And at Pentecost, they're in the upper room, they're praying, they get their mind on Jesus and nothing else, and the power falls. And what happens when the power falls? They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. What did that do? That gave them power in the three areas I just spoke of like they'd never had before. They had believed on the Lord. They had heard, they knew the law. They knew all these things, but they're about to have power like they never had it before when they are filled with the Holy Ghost. When that word there, endued, in verse 49, you know what that means? Endued means this. It holds, this is the thought of endued. This is me. And this is the Holy Ghost. And endued has this thought in that verse. Put it in. He not only put it on, he put it in. This was me. This is the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost, I will pray the Father that he may send you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, and he shall be in you. He come in you, praise God, and on you. And there you have the power of God in you and on you. What for? For the work of the Lord. For the work of God. So, now, it come at Pentecost. I lost my crying handkerchief. Where'd it go, Mark? Thank you, brother. So it came at Pentecost. Okay, so I know what some people think. One and done. No. No, no. It's not only at Pentecost, but it's at periodicals. Say, why would you need to do that? I'll show you why in just a minute. So it's at Pentecost that they're all filled. Acts 2 and 4, they're all filled. Now, periodically, it comes because in Acts 4 and 31, after they'd been really give a talking to because they're speaking in the name of the Lord, they all get together, they're praising the Lord. And when they had all prayed, the place was shaken and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. So here they were filled at Pentecost. And now just not long later, here's Peter and John up in the room. They're praying and they're filled again with the Holy Ghost. So it's not only at Pentecost, but it's at periodicals. You know what's wrong with everybody in this room? We need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. So I don't believe that, preacher. Said I. You know what Paul said in Ephesians 5 and 18? Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. You know why he told you that? Because he knew you needed it. We need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. You're going to have to get rid of some stuff to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm going to preach on that in just a minute. But he wants us to be filled. Why? Because that's our power. I don't want mediocre services. I want services where you can't stand it if you're a sinner. And when you ain't right with God, you can't stand it. And the altars are full. And they're not just once in a blue moon somebody comes to the altar and cries a little bit, gets up and goes back to their seat. But when lost people come in this place, that the Spirit of God would move on them, they couldn't stand it. Why? Because of the power of God. Don't have a thing to do with you or me or anybody else. It's just God. But his power works through us. Because he can do exceedingly abundantly above what we ask or think according to the power that worketh where? In us. That's why the children don't want to come to church. People say it's boring. There's no power. I'm telling you, if we get fired up around here like it is at camp meeting, people will come. But here's what it is. It's at Pentecost. It was periodically. Now, and I know somebody said, well, that's Old Testament times. Or, I mean, New Testament times, and this is modern times. Here's what he said in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse number 14. I think it's 14. He said, for we are all baptized by one Spirit into one body. That's how we get in. And if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you're none of his. So if you've been born again, really been born again, you have the Spirit of Christ, and the day in which we are saved, are we filled with the Spirit? Sure we are. He moves in, takes up his abode with us. That's why John said, or Jesus said in John 3 and 6, he said, that which is born of flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So the natural takes on the supernatural. The supernatural moves into the natural and it empowers us to do things that on our own accord we are unable to accomplish. That's power delivered. I'm about to get real right here now. But you know what? You know where I'm afraid we're living? Power diminished. You saying the Holy Ghost has lost his power? Oh, no. It's not him. He's still wanting to do what he's always done. But when Jesus showed up and there's a lot of sick folk and he couldn't do anything but heal a few sick folk and the power of God was there to heal them, but he couldn't heal them because of their unbelief. So there's times of diminished power, and I know what you're thinking, or I think I do. Is this power? I'm going to show you in the life of Paul. Would you think that the power of God was ever diminished in the life of the great apostle Paul? So power is diminished because of contention. If you have that with anyone, and especially anyone within this congregation, friend, there will be no power. Contention is the eraser on the power point on the board. Acts 15 and 39, here's what happened. Paul told Barnabas, let's go around on the see our brothers the second time on second missionary journey. Let's go around and see them churches where we've been, set up churches. And Barnabas said, okay, but I'm going to bring John Mark. And Paul said, you ain't bringing him. And the contention was so strong. Here's why so many people leave our church and go somewhere else, or they come from, here's what it is. Listen, the contention was so strong that they parted asunder. Now, God does that on purpose a lot of times, and he'll use what men meant for evil. God will use it for good, and it'll be beneficial to some. But that doesn't relieve us from the responsibility of doing this, reconciling our contention. I don't believe that, preacher. That's why you're dead and dried up. Ain't no shout, no joy, no enthusiasm. Shouldn't preach like that to people that'll come to church on Sunday morning. That's because I know about a whole bunch won't be here on Sunday night or Wednesday. I ain't talking about them who are sick, can't come, work late, kids out of school, got to pick them up, you got stuff you got to do. I'm talking about the one that can't come and don't come. The contention was so strong between Paul and Barnabas that they parted ways. How do you know Paul was wrong? Because 2 Timothy 4:11, Paul told him, said, look, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and only Luke is with me. He said, but bring John Mark, for he's profitable for the ministry. What does that mean? That means that even the Apostle Paul, at a period of time, had diminished power. Had he had the power, he would have recognized, I wish I could jump. Give that boy a little grace right there, because he didn't know what he was doing. He had a little trouble. Bless God, you'll have trouble one day, and I pray that somebody give you grace when you have trouble. It took Paul to the end of the ministry. I believe he recognized it before then. But then he said, you bring John Mark. I said, that boy's profitable for me in my ministry. What happened to Paul? He's all fired up, doing everything right. Let's go check them out on the missionary. Let's see your churches we've set up. Yeah, but I want to bring John Mark. Diminished power right here. Contention. I don't bring John Mark. I don't want you to bring him. Barnabas said, I'm bringing John Mark. I'll just go somewhere else, start a church. And that's what he done. It's not only contention that diminishes power, but it's confusion. I couldn't commit all this to memory. And I didn't try real hard, just to be honest, because it is written and I could read it to you. And I want you to listen. Just listen. You can find this. You can find this later. It'll be a good Bible study for you. And some of you are going to know where it's at. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face. Now this is Paul. This is a time when power wasn't diminished with Paul, but it was with Peter. Paul said, I withstood him to his face. Because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. In other words, before this bunch of Jews showed up, he's eating with the Gentiles. Now, some 11 years before this, the power of the Holy Ghost poured out on the Gentiles, and he sees the power poured out on them, and he's eating with them, and they're having camp meeting, but now he's with another bunch of Jews, and he don't want to offend them, so he's not going to eat with the Gentiles. What does that mean? That means that's the way a lot of people are today. It's confusion when they say they can't be saved in the church of God. They can't be saved in the Church of Christ. They can't be saved unless they're a Baptist. They can't be saved unless they're Pentecostal. They can't be. I tell you what you got to do to be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's what the Bible says. No confusion there. He did eat with the Gentiles, but when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. That means they're a Jew. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with them in their dissimulation. In other words, now who's diminished? Paul was diminished at one time. Now Peter's diminished. And even Barnabas, who was right the other time, is wrong this time when he's separating himself to be with the Jews. And Paul's telling on the whole bunch. And the other Jews dissembled likewise. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of the Gentiles and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? You're playing on both sides of the fence, Peter. You're eating with one till this bunch shows up, and then that bunch you think ain't as favored as this bunch, so you're going over to that bunch. Listen, there better not be anybody in this building you wouldn't sit down and have a meal with. If you got contention, you need to straighten it up. And if there's, you know what this created? You know what this created right here? Confusion. So the old Gentiles are sitting over there thinking, hey, don't you love us no more? What's happening? Diminished in power, they've never been in this situation. The Spirit of truth shall guide you in all truth. You want to hear something about 17 years later? This is what Peter says. Listen at this. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that we look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless, and account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. About 17 years later, he ain't holding a thing against Paul for Paul speaking to his face and saying, you're wrong, Peter. Now let me suggest something to the church. If someone's wronged you, don't get up here behind the podium and say, that's sorry, Randall, he cheated me out. Here's what he done. That's not what the Bible says to do. The Bible said to go to Randall and say, Randall, brother, in the spirit of humility, brother, this was wrong. How come this happened? You know, there may be a reason you don't even know about that Randall done what he done. You don't have a clue. You're not living his shoes. You're not living his life. People don't know, but they assume. And you know what that is? That's confusion. And you know what it does? It diminishes power. One more. Power is diminished by contention. It's diminished by confusion. We see it here. And if it can be diminished in the life of the Apostle Paul and the great Apostle Peter, where do you think that leaves us today? You know how it gets diminished in our lives so often today? It's by conformity. We may not be contending with someone. We may not have an issue with Randy or Brother Gordon. We may not be trying to confuse anyway, but here's all of a sudden happening. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying the church has got a lot of world in it, and the world's getting more churchy every day. How have we conformed? Well, it's things of the world. I'm just going to tell you. Y'all got a tradition, or you all got a reputation of being traditional in this church. You don't have a thing to do with me. That bunch up there at the First Free Will is old school. That's what I hear. They do that old stuff. They sing them old songs. They sing that blood stuff. And that preacher's a crazy guy. He just preaches loud and long. He's too long, too loud. And they're just old. One guy said, well, I heard that you all was just a little traditional, too traditional for us.
Hallelujah. Yes.
Seek ye out the old paths and walk therein. See, the Bible said, and Paul said this in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 19, he said, quench not the spirit. Quench not the spirit. So here's the reality. Here's the reality. It's not hard to quench the spirit. You ever quench the spirit, preacher? Oh, yeah. You're lying if you say you haven't. So, oh no, I've done everything the Spirit ever bid me to do. McComas, see no halos. So maybe the reason this thing didn't break loose this morning and us shout hallelujah. Now, you don't have to run laps and shout hallelujah, but I know when the Spirit of God moves. I'm not ignorant to the Spirit of God. I'm very familiar with His moving, His working. He does it in my life. He stripes the time out of me sometimes. I know when He does that. I know when the Spirit of God moves up on me. I mean, I got to praying over lunch the other day. I think I shared this. And I got to praying over lunch and the Holy Ghost showed up. Now, is He not always in me? Yes. But Paul said, once again, be ye filled. What does that mean? That means periodically we need a filling of the Holy Ghost. Why? Because this world begins to drag on us. We begin to conform, and the power that worketh in us begins to be diminished. So I'm talking to a preacher this morning. Now, all of you know who it was. We've not seen anybody saved in a long time. I said, well, we've not either. And God added to the churches daily such as should be saved. And it takes power to make that happen. It's godly sorrow that worketh repentance to salvation. That only comes by brokenness and power in us. And so, I don't feel like I got much power right now. And I'm not blaming it on feeling bad in body. I've been reading Corinthians where Paul said, I'll rather rejoice in my infirmities that the power of God might rest upon me. Power of Christ might rest upon me. So glory in your infirmities. And I found that hard to do. But I still want the power. Roger Buck told me a long time ago, we was first getting started, and we'd go pray. We'd pray in the air compressor room over at the plant. And the floors were so oily that we had pieces of cardboard stuck away in the room, in the air compressor room. We'd pull the cardboard out so we could pray in the floor. And he said, Mike, I'm going to be honest. Now, Roger and I was very honest to each other. I threw a screwdriver one day because I was mad. He said, you're going to have to repent over that. He He said, you bother me because every time we come in here to pray, I hear you crying to God for power. You know why? Because I need it. I need the power of God. Power of God gets you up on Wednesday night. You don't feel like coming. You come on anyway. That's what the power of God does. Power of God will give you that voice when that one you're going to speak to and you don't think, I can't say nothing to them. I'm not going to say anything. Power of God will get on you. You know what you do? You open your mouth. Just go to talking to them. Hey, people go, what? Hey, he's crazy. What's wrong with him? Power of God. Power of God gives victory even in times when you don't feel like you can have victory. When it feels like everything's turned upside down. When it just don't. You know what we need to get us through this? Oh, we need church. We need each other. We need the fellowship of Christians. We need to come together, assemble together. We need all these. Yes, we need all these things, but I tell you what we need. We need the power. Amen. You know what power will do? Power will make you hug the neck of your enemy and tell him you're sorry. There's a guy left this church mad at me, very angry at me. I just brushed it off. I tried to contact him a time or two. He didn't want to have anything to do with me. I just thought it was done. Better things to do. Wrong. There's still contention. I'm driving down the road one day, and I thought, I'd already had lunch. It's in the afternoon. It's a pretty day. I'm going to head into the house. I may mow the grass or do something productive. The Holy Ghost said, why don't you go over and talk to that guy that's got a problem with you? The only problem with that, I don't want to talk to him. I don't talk to that guy. I've let him chew me. All I'm going to let him chew me is tell me how bad I am, how bad our church is, how everything about us is bad. Ain't nothing good here, and he's going to chew me again. I'm not going over there, Lord. And the Holy Ghost said, you better go right now. You better go now. I turned my truck around and pulled into the place of business. I walked up there, and this guy's a boss where he worked. I said, hey, may I see so-and-so? She said, what's your name? I said, I thought, well, this right here will nip this in the bud. I said, my name's Mike McCoy. She said, just a minute. She went into the office and come back out and said, oh, yeah. I said, he'd be glad to see you. I thought, here we go. I walked into the office, didn't give him a chance to speak, stuck my hand out and said, I'm sorry that I've hurt you. I don't want no contention. The birds aren't singing. Hey, my prayer's suffering. Oh, it's hard to hear and see. I don't have no victory. I'm sorry I hurt you. I got shook my head and said, you know what? You've not really hurt me. I thought, glory to God. I left there, the birds are singing. It's easy to pray. I felt like coming to church. You can't do that. I can't do that. In myself, I'd have walked in there and punched him right in the mouth. But I don't belong to me. I'm bought with a price. I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, you get over there and tell that guy you're sorry. And then if you'll do that, I'm going to help you then. I'll help you, but you're going to have to do it. Oh, my, how I dreaded it, how I thought it would hurt me. How much more the Lord blessed me. How easy it was once I done it. Diminished power. I'm being kind right here when I say 80% of the churches across America are coming in service, having church in diminished power. Contention, mad at somebody. Confused why this one's doing that to that one, and you don't understand this thing. That's not what the Bible said about it, and they've been a Christian for a long time. You look at them like they're an apostle. Hey, but what? How come they do that? Confusion, diminish power. And then we conform. God, I got more of the world in me than I want. Now, don't be conformed to the world. Yeah, but Lord, don't be conformed to the world. Transform. Let me renew your mind. Think on these things. Do that thing. Do that thing. Play something, Verena. Do that thing that you know you need to do. See? Because I want to empower you. I want you to walk in power. I want you to walk in power. I had a guy tell me one time concerning Brother Donald Wattenbarger. Said there'd been two preachers come in and pray with this guy. He said, and all of a sudden that country bumpkin come walking in there and took that man by the hand. He said, I never heard anything like it. And he said, something was different when he started to pray. I said, you know what the difference was? It's the Holy Ghost. The power showed up. Had the power of God on him. So I don't like him. Listen, friend. If there's anybody right now that you're thinking of, say, I'm not going to ever apologize to them, you need to be on the altar praying, asking God. You're living in contention, and that equals zero power. We stand and bow our heads. Some already coming to pray. I wrestle the Lord with this. The Lord said, what do you need, Mike, more than anything else? I said, I need your power. So when I pray for people, God, you'll hear me. When wayward children and families and friends and trouble, oh God, just give us power. You delivered the power. There's no need to live in diminished power. We need to feel the power of God. In our teaching, our preaching, our singing. Somebody told us, and I'm not looking for accolades. I feel like the least in the building. And I don't like to hear myself sing. I just do it because I feel like I need to. And I got a song on my heart. But someone said that you guys have never sung better than you sang last Sunday when we sung whatever song it was we sung. I said, you know what it was? God got on Mark. And when God got on Mark, it got on us. You can sing off key, and when that happens, it sounds sweet. Because it's power. Come and get that song, Marcus. Maybe the best song in the book. And I'm asking you this morning, if you're really living in the power, and you have not because you ask not, God's revealed something to you that you've conformed unto. Listen, friend, I have to check myself with this. And when God reveals it, then we repent of it. And praise God, then you know what happens? The power comes back. As we sing, if you need to pray, there's still room, there's time. Pastor Mike McCoy, thanking you for joining us at the Time of Truth.